हरिओम
हरिओम।
यार, सी यू एट गीता क्लास। थैंक यू। सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम्। अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततत्कतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सो वी आर इन द 18th चैप्टर वेयर इट इज अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन दैट बिगिंस द चैप्टर वेयर ही आस्क्स भगवान व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन त्याग एंड संन्यास। दीज टू वर्ड्स सीम अलाइक but there are some subtle differences. So Bhagavan says, Kamyanam Karmanam Tyaga Sanyasam. So wise people say that giving up desire-prompted egocentric activities is sanyasa. And other wise people say, Karma Phala Tyaga, giving up the fruit, what am I going to get out of it? Not focusing on the result, but doing what is required at that time is tyaga, giving up the fruit. Because the fruit does not belong to me. We'll talk a little more about that today also. So tyaga. Then he says that is the opinion of other masters. So Bhagavan always quotes other scholars, other rishis, other teachers of the Upanishads. And then he says, my opinion is that yajna, jnana, and tapa should not be given up. They must be done because they purify the mind. And we had seen tapa is austerity, self-control, not overindulging, not letting the mind run too much into the world. Not overeating, not overindulging. And then when that energy is conserved, which I am not wasting on just gossip or on the internet or just, and that energy is channeled towards serving the community, that is yajna, where I get together with others and serve. And when I work in the world with that kind of an attitude of service and control, then my work will be successful. It could be a community service, or it could even be my job, my daily work. But when it is done with that kind of an attitude, there will be some results. There will be some accumulation of wealth, property, and so on. So that I should share. That is dana. So tapa is followed by yajna, self-control, work for the benefit of others. And then whatever results I get, share it with others. Do not say I have earned it, so I deserve it. But there are many other factors that come whenever I earn anything. God's grace, the whole community. So that is what we have studied. So Bhagavan says, Tyaga is of two kinds. Three kinds. Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic. And we'll be studying that in some detail. And as he said, yajna, dana, and tapaha must be done. These three must be done. Some people believe that to take sannyas, you give up all activities and just go into the forest and meditate and dip, you know. But that is not possible for all of us. So majority of us should do these three kind of activities. Tapa, yajna, and dana. So that is how far we have come up to shloka number 6. Now today he will say how these activities should be done. We'll start with shloka number 6, how these activities should be done. And then we will study the three types of tyaga, tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. So chapter 18, shloka number 6. Etan yapitu karmani. Sangam tyatva phalani cha. Kartavyani iti me partha. Nishchitam matam uttamam. Together, etan yapitu karmani, sangam tyatva phalani cha, kartavyani iti me partha, nishchitam matam uttamam. So in the last quarter, he says, nishchitam matam uttamam. This is my clear belief, which is the highest knowledge, that what is the highest and the clearest knowledge. And that is my opinion, Bhagavan says, because as we said in the beginning, he quoted other scholars, but now Arjuna is so convinced that Bhagavan is the divinity after having seen the 11th chapter, all his glory, that he's ready to accept whatever Bhagavan says as the final authority. So here Bhagavan says, that is my firm opinion. Etani api tu karmani. These activities means yajna, dana, and tapa. Austerity, service, working for others, and dana, charity. These three karma should be done sangam tyatva phalani cha, without attachment. Sangam is attachment, giving up attachment. And phalani means the fruit. What am I going to get? Because as we will see in the commentary, we get very attached to certain actions and how to give up attachment and how to live in detachment. So he says these activities should be given with detachment and without worrying about the fruit. And kartavyani, and they must be done. My obligatory duties that I have been assigned must be done. It is my opinion. So let us see how we can get attached to actions. So one way is that, say I have been assigned a job and I have been doing it very well. And then my boss, or maybe if I'm involved in some spiritual organization, social work, or it could be my job at work. And I'm told from tomorrow or from next week, you won't do this job, you will do another job. So no, I cannot. I like this job. I don't want to leave. I want that is attachment. That even, and maybe the person who is telling me has a reason. You can ask, why am I being shifted from this department to that? And that person will say that based on your qualities, based on your experience, based on the needs of that department, I think you will fit better. But if I say, no, I only want this, I'm not ready to give up this job, then I'm attached. You know, I should say, yes, if that is what is required, if you think I can, I'll do it. Or attachment also means that I don't like my job, but I like that guy's job. I should do that. No, whatever job comes to me, you know, whatever has come as the totality, wherever I have been placed, based on my age, based on my caste, based on my community, based on so many factors, based on my position in the company. So certain jobs will come. So I should do them without worrying about that I'm not going to leave it. No, whatever I am required to do, I do it cheerfully without complaint and without expecting what am I going to get out of it. That is phalam, that what am I for, I, me, and my. No, I'm doing it for the benefit of the community. I'm doing it for the benefit of the company. I'm doing it for as a service to God. And whatever results come, I accept it as His prasad. I did my best. Ultimately, whatever comes, that is His grace. So while I am doing the activity, I should not be brooding about what I'm going to get out of it at the end. Do what is required at that moment. Whatever comes to you, do it to the best of your ability. We're not saying that you don't do a good job. Work hard. And then at the end of it, if you succeed, that's very good. Thank God for His grace. If you didn't succeed, then maybe I need to study a little more. Maybe I need to put more effort. So I should do that. Then another problem with working is that we don't know our limits. You know, certain things maybe I'm not qualified enough to do, and to start thinking that I only am going to take that job, not take a lower job. No, maybe we are not qualified. So know your limits, know your qualifications, and then work according to that. And be realistic about it, you know, expecting that somehow I will, you know, be able to perform something that I'm not capable of. We'll talk a little more about that later on. And yajna, dana, and tapa. Tapa means living by rules. I have to decide my own rules, what I should do, what I should not do, what I'm capable of doing, what I'm not. And once I have decided that this is what is good for me, I should stick with it. Say I have decided I'm going to get up early in the morning, you know, and get up and meditate, or maybe take a shower, do some puja, and I'm not going to eat till I have done my meditation, done my puja, done my yoga asanas, you know, whatever is. So once I have decided, then I should stick firmly with that. That if I've decided I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., whatever time, I should then stick with it. And once I have decided, okay, I'm going to every morning meditate for 20 minutes, then practice that. Or at night, I'm going to eat only up to 7 o'clock, not eat after 7 p.m. You know, so things like that. Or I'm going to regulate my diet. These particular things are harmful in my diet. I'm going to eliminate them and not say, chalo, theek hai, you know, today I am at a party. No, once I have decided, then I have to set my rules. And that is tapa. Yajna is what will please God. What is it, my activity that I'll do that will make God happy? And God is not somebody sitting somewhere, but is in my heart, who knows my motive, my intention. So my intention should be pure, my motive should be pure, and then the actions will be pure. And what does dana do? Dana reduces lobha, greed. Because that is one of our biggest obstacles in our spiritual journey is the greed that I must have more. Not that one should not be successful, one should not work hard, but the idea that I should accumulate more and more and more for myself. No, whatever I'm working, society has participated. So let me share part of what society has given me for the benefit of society and find suitable causes where you can donate, or if you know a particular student who is, say, very good, but doesn't have money to go to college. So even that is dana too. You can either pick a particular person or a particular family or a particular association, a particular society. So that is called dana, yajna, dana, and tapa. Attachment can be to things or can also be to people. Attachment. So he says, give up attachment. So example is a mother really loves her son, is very attached. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But depending on him for my happiness is attachment. And say the son gets married. Now, you know, he's 25, 28 or 30 years old. He got a job and he's married. And mother still thinks that son should remain the same as he was. He used to call me every day and talk to me for 20 minutes. He should still do. He can't, because now he has to divide his time between his wife and you and the mother or the father. So to slowly let go, it's okay. You know, now he's busy. He has wife. And then later on, he has one or two kids. Then he even has less time. Because kids' activities and school and, you know, sports. And he may not be able to call you every day, may not be, but it's okay. You understand. And as long as he's happy, he's doing well, even once a week he calls, that is bonus. That is good. So slowly one has to give up attachment. And that's what Bhagavan says. Sangam tyaktva phalani cha. So these yajna, dana, tapa should be done without attachment and without result, worrying about, brooding about the result, what am I going to get out of it, and sharing what I have with others. So that is verse number 6. And Bhagavan says, that is my firm opinion. And if we have faith in that Bhagavan himself came on earth, then it should be our 100% belief. Then we should not question. That's not that one should cannot have doubts and ask questions, but at the end, complete faith in the scripture, that if Bhagavan has spoken or if the rishis have spoken, even the Upanishads, the rishis did not, it was not their knowledge. They in meditation heard what was told by the totality, by consciousness, and that they revealed to us. So all this knowledge comes from a divine source. That's what. Same thing Jesus also says in the Bible. He says, it's not me. It is my Father who has, you know, given all this knowledge. So most of these great masters don't take ownership of this knowledge. It comes from the higher source. Then he will do the three kinds of tyaga, tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. So shloka number 7. Niyatasya tu sanyasaha. Karmano no papadyate. Oha tasya parityagaha. Tamasah parikirtitaha. Together, niyatasya tu sanyasaha karmano nopapadyate mohatasya parityagaha tamasa parikirtitaha. So what is tamasik tyaga? You know, tyaga is giving up, abandoning, but there are three kinds, tamasa parikirtitaha. So it is said to be tamasik. Tamasav parikirtitaha. In the fourth quarter, Bhagavan says it is known as tamasik. What? Niyatasya tu sanyasaha. What is niyata? We'll talk about. Niyata is obligatory duties. Two means but, sannyasa. Sannyasa means giving up obligatory duties. What? Karmana, of karmas. So karmas that are obligatory duties, giving up na upapadyate is not right. Whatever my obligatory duties are, we'll talk about what obligatory duties are. We have discussed that before also, but we'll just summarize. Na upapadyate is not appropriate, not to give up, giving up your obligatory duties. And how? Mohat, with delusion. Tasya parityaga, tasya, of that, my obligatory parityaga, complete giving up. I'm not going to do it out of delusion. You know, one is you have a reason why, you know, you want to give up a certain activity and progress. But if you give it up out of delusion or ignorance, that is called tamasik. So what are ordained or obligatory duties? So, that is called niyatam karma, and there are two kinds we have discussed before, nitya and naimitya. Nitya means daily activities. So I get up, get ready, have breakfast, go to work, or whatever I'm supposed to do in the house or outside work. And then I come and, you know, take care of my children, family, house, so on. That is daily activities. And special activities we talked about. There's a wedding, or there is a new child born, or there is a death, you know, in the community. So you go. So those are all special activities. Diwali, you know, that's a special activity where you get together and celebrate, you know, have fireworks or whatever, you know, sweets. So those are nitya and naimitya, and they must be done. You cannot say, as long as I'm a householder, yes, if somebody has taken sannyas with right understanding, why I am taking sannyas, not out of ignorance. See, somebody is does not know why he is quitting. Like, say, he is going to college. And after 2 years of college, you know, he said, I don't want to study anymore. I want to take up art or drama or music. Or I want to go and meditate. Now, maybe he truly has, you know, a desire that is one, but sometimes it is out of stress. College work is too hard, or I had a, you know, a girlfriend who left me. So now my life is choro, and I don't want to work. I don't want to study. I just want. And that is called mohat, out of ignorance, not knowing why I am giving up. One is that you give up when there is a truly a higher purpose. But somebody just out of delusion, out of confusion, he gives up and then does not do the work and does not have a good reason why he is giving up. It is just escapism. You know, I don't want to work. I don't want to study anymore. And we find people who have gone to medical school and so on, and after 2-3 years of spending that time and so much money, and the parents have worked hard to put them all their hopes, then they will say, I don't want to do this. I want to, you know, you have to decide beforehand what is your purpose. And if you are giving up, there has to be a higher purpose. You can't just say, okay, I don't want to study. I don't want to work. It is too hard. That too hard will also talk in the next one. And giving up also happens, we find in the government, you know, people who are in government service. It is very typical, you know, you go there and your people are standing in the line and these guys are taking their long lunch break and chai break. And they don't care, you know, you submit your application 1 month, 2 months, they don't reply. That is moha, that is tamasik tyaga, where you are not doing your job. Not understanding that my duty, if government is paying me, actually government is not paying, the taxpayers are paying me. And when they come for help, not helping them and not doing my duty is tamasik. So that is tamasik tyaga, where a person does not perform his duty. And it can also be where I don't know why I am doing something, what I am doing, when I don't have. So like I go to a wedding. You know, some people go to a wedding. What is the purpose of going to the wedding? You know, go bless the bride and groom, attend the ceremony, you know, and give them a gift. And But some people go to the wedding only why? Because I bought new jewelry, you know, so I want to show off my jewelry or my new saris, you know, or my new dress, or I want to see which other important people have come to the wedding so I can make friends with them. So their purpose of going to the wedding is not to bless the bride, but what can I? So that is called tamasik tyaga, where you are not doing what you are supposed to do out of ignorance. Or activities done impulsively, like somebody has a huge stamp collection. You know, the olden days people used to collect stamps or collect keychains or whatever. And so he has a beautiful stamp collection, very expensive. One day he gets tired. He said, I spent too much time on this. I should just give it away. So the newspaper boy comes. He says, you want stamps? He says, yeah. He said, okay, take the whole stamp. Impulsively, one day he decided. And then a newspaper boy, he even doesn't know the value. You know, stamps are so valuable and so many years he has taken. Then after 2 weeks, he said, "Arey yaar, I shouldn't have given it. You know, so much effort I put in collect." So that is tamasic, where you do out of impulse, you know, forget it, I don't want. And then later on you regret. Or same thing, like somebody who has gone to college. And after 2-3 years, he leaves, then he regrets afterwards when he can't get a job. And then he finds music is very competitive and art. And it's not easy to succeed in these if he really had that. So that's what they say, that take actions with thinking about it, why I am doing. If it is done impulsively and later on you regret out of poor understanding or wrong understanding, that is tamasic. So that kind of tyaga is na upapadyate, is not appropriate. It should not be done. That is what Bhagavan says. So tamasik tyaga, I must definitely avoid. So the idea of giving tamasik, rajasik and satvik is for me to see. It is not for me to judge others that that person is tamasik or rajasik. It is for me, if I have these kind of qualities, tamasic or rajasic, I should avoid them and do more sattvic. And why should we do sattvic? We'll talk about that at the end. So now we'll go to shloka number 8. Dukkham ityeva yat karma. Kaya klesha bhayatya jet. Sakrit Varaja Samtyagam. Daivatyaga Phalam Labhet. So why? What is Rajasik Tyaga? Dukkham Iti. It is difficult. I'm not going to. The moment little problem come, what is too much trouble? I'm not going to do it. Dukkham iti eva yat karma. This karma that is given up because it is hard. You know, don't want to put any effort. You know, when some people are very easily give up, you know, in life to succeed, you have to put effort. No, I don't want, it's too hard. Or why I am giving up? Kaya klesha bhaya. Kaya klesh means bodily discomfort. It is too much trouble for me. I am physically, I don't feel good, or mentally it is giving me stress. So slightest physical discomfort, that place, they require me to come at 7 in the morning to work. That's too early. I'm not going to do it. So even though I have taken up some particular job or service or anything social, physical discomfort or mentally, it's too much stress. Some places may really be, but ability to, okay, there will be some physical discomfort, some mental, you know, effort to be successful that is required in the world. You have to work hard. You know, that's what we even tell our children, that if you want to get all A+, you want to go to a good Ivy League college, you want to get into medical school, you know, good colleges, you have to put effort. You can't say, "Arey, I'm going to sit and do nothing and expect success." So he says, Kaya klesha bhayat tyaje sakritva rajasam tyagam. That is called rajasik tyaga. One who does that, either because it is hard or because it is causing physical and mental discomfort. And we find that to succeed in anywhere, in a new business also, the person has to spend time. You know, he can't say, I'm going to work 8 to 10 in the morning and, you know, 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Your business will not succeed. In the beginning, everybody works hard, work long hours, you know, even weekends if you have to. So he says, na eva tyaga phalam labhet. If you have given up, it will not give any good result. If you have given up for the wrong reason, because it is too difficult. So as we said, the stress could be physical. Oh, it's too hard work. I don't want to work hard. And we find kids sometimes are like that, you know, it's too much work. I don't want. So then what are you going to do with your life? If you want all of us, you know, to become successful, you have to, whether you're in medical or engineering or law, or, you know, everywhere, hard work is required. You know, lawyers work so many hours. They work till 9, 10 at night, work on weekends, accountants in tax season, they work all day, 7 days a week. So hard work is required in any field. But if you give it up because it is physically taxing or mentally taxing, then that will not give you the right result. You will not be successful. And why do we give up? Another reason is raga dvesha. I like this, I don't like this. No, whatever comes to you, whether you like it or don't like it, if it is something that you are supposed to do, you must do it. You know, I mean, if you are in a particular job in a company, you say, I'll do this part and I'll not do that part, they'll fire you and say, well, you are not here for your likes and dislikes. Whatever job has been assigned, and it could be anything, you know, in my profession, even in my house, there are certain, no, nobody likes to, you know, do the dishes and clean the floor and do the laundry, but that is part of being a householder. So doing my duties without complaint and without saying, why do I only have to do it? No, if it is my job, if it has come to me, do it as Bhagwan's work. It is even cleaning the dishes is his work, even cleaning the house, because Bhagwan lives in the house. If I clean the house, I'm cleaning his house. So doing those without complaint, and I should do it, and why the other person is not. No, whatever I have done, I do it. Or some people think it is below my status. You know, I am so qualified. Why should I be, you know, doing this? No, again, whatever job comes, whatever the circumstances are required, you do it. If you think, you know, I am so super qualified, and tomorrow in the company, they say, well, this particular job needs, I'm not going to do it. I'm so qualified. Send somebody else. No. If that job is required, again, to think that I am superior, I'm not going to sweep the floor. I'm not. No. Whatever job is required, doing it without complaint and doing it because it is my duty and doing it as Bhagwan's work. That is the most important. And then ultimately, be grateful when you get the opportunity to serve. People say, if I help others, what are others doing? It doesn't matter what others are doing. I have to, if Bhagwan has given me an opportunity to serve and help others, that's the best thing. You should be very grateful to him and do it cheerfully. Other thing that tyaga, that people do, is when they are forced to do it. And that is called rajasik tyaga. Like say a person is smoking, right? He's a smoker and he's told by his family, you shouldn't smoke. His parents tell him, his doctor tells him, and he doesn't quit. He keeps on smoking. And finally, his lungs become so bad, he can't breathe and he's short of breath. And he has COPD, emphysema, you know, and then he can't breathe. And then he quits smoking. From tomorrow, that's too late. You should have quit when, and you should quit when you decide to quit. You should have that much willpower that if something is harmful for me, it is told by my doctor, by my parents, my family, I should quit. Or it could be alcohol, you know, drinking. Some people keep on drinking till their liver finally is giving out, you know, they are jaundiced and their liver, then it is too late. So the point is that I should decide what to give up. So if something is harmful, you should be able to not let circumstances, and could be even food. You know, I'm diabetic, but I like sweets. And finally, what happens? My kidneys get bad and my sugar goes so high and my legs are, that is too late. So when the situation comes, when I know that something is harmful for me, for my physical health, or for the society, for the community, like when I smoke, my kids and, you know, family all will get affected by that smoke, secondhand smoke, or by drinking. You know, if I'm drinking, I may be drive drunk, I hurt somebody else, or I waste so much of my money, you know, drugs. So any of these habits that either are harmful to me or to my society, I should have the ability to give it up. That is correct. If I am not able to give up, and only give up when circumstances force me, when I don't have a choice, that is rajasic. Oh, you know, his lungs are so bad, his liver, and then it is, what is the point of giving up? No, by then you have already ruined everything. So that is called rajasic tyaga. Tyaga means where I'm giving up, not because it's the right thing to do, but it is too hard for me. I don't want to be bothered, you know. Man, I can't do it. It's not for me. So that is called rajasic tyaga. So tamasic and rajasic we have done. Sattvic, we will spend some extra time on it. What is sattvic tyaga? Which is the tyaga that one should do? In tamasic and rajasic, you are giving up activities. You are giving up your niyatam karma, your ordained activities or obligatory duties. One is out of moha, out of delusion, ignorance. Second one is because it is too hard for me. So in sattvic, we are not giving up karma, but what are we giving up? Let us see that. This is the very important shloka, ninth shloka, which is kind of the essence of how to work in the world. So shloka number 9, karyam yeva yat karma. Yatam kriyate arjuna sangam tyatva phalam chaiva. Satyagas sattviko matah. Karyam ityeva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva satyaga sattviko matah. So in sattvic, we don't give up activities. What do we give up? So he says, karyam iti, that which I am supposed to do, iti eva, that alone I must do, yat karma. So the activity that is I am supposed to do, and which is niyatam, which is nitya and naimitya. So my required obligatory duties, when they are done, kriyate, when they are done by an individual, oh Arjuna, oh student, Krishna tells Arjuna, oh, the activities that you are supposed to do. In this case, Arjuna was supposed to be a warrior. And there was the Dharma Yudha, where he had to fight for Dharma, for the right cause. But he's running away and saying, I'm going to go to the forest to meditate. His mind is not ready for meditation. He can't sit in the forest, you know, for several years. He was a young man. So next 20, 30 years, you're going to sit in the forest. You are not mentally ready. You know, some person like Shankaracharya at age 9 or 10, he was ready to go. Raman Maharishi and all. But Arjuna was a warrior. He had whole life, he had trained to fight the war. And he was, so for him to run away is rajasic. for a wrong reason he's running away, you know, because there will be a lot of death. The war is going to happen with or without Arjuna. The deaths will happen. But the Pandavas will lose, the good side will lose, and the evil will win. And that's what, because Arjuna was the main warrior on the Pandava. And that's what Bhagwan is telling him, that by your going away, the war is not going to stop. Just people will think you are a coward. You ran away from the war and you were afraid to fight. And because the Kaurava force, Arjuna was not afraid, but Bhagwan is trying to tell him that do whatever duty has come to you. At this moment, you are fighting against evil and your fight is for dharma. So when you do not do your duty, that is tamasic or rajasic. But doing your duty without likes and dislikes, that right now, Bhagwan, I have been placed in this position as a warrior. In Arjuna's case, it was a warrior. In our case, it could be a mother or a father or a physician or a nurse or a dentist or farmers, whatever, engineer, whatever jobs I have been placed as a father, mother, I have duties. As a child, I have duties towards my parents. As a professional or an engineer, I have duties. So doing all those duties is, and it is said, sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment and giving up phalam, fruit. Tatsa tyaga sattvika mata. So you don't give up activities, you give up attachment to the activity and worrying about the result. What will I get? That is what you have to give up. Sangam and phala, the obsessing about the fruit. Do the action. We don't give up the action. We do it with the right attitude. So what has to change is my attitude. The karma will not change, but why I am doing this karma? And what is the purpose? So they say like varnashram. So suppose I am a student, you know, first 25 years, my duties are to study, do the best I can, you know, approximately 25 can be a little less or more. Study, be the best student I can be, you know, be successful in my studies, career. Then from 25 to 30, 25 to 50, I'm making my career. And that's a householder's life where I have children, I take care of children. So household, as a student, my duty is to study and not indulge in all other things, you know, smoking, drinking, opposite sex, you know, that's not for me. Then after a certain age, okay, then I get married and I have children. So now my duty becomes different. Now I have duties to my children. I have to take care of my older parents. That is my duty. Then a householder is required not only to take care of his children and parents, but also to take care of society, as which is the householders who maintain society. So take care of educational institutions, take care of, you know, sadhus, mahatmas, spiritual institutions. So those are all taken care by householders. It is householders who earn and then who share and help society to get better. So it is not only for me and my family, but what I can give to society. So that is all obligatory duties of the householder. It's not a choice. We as householders, we have to do that. We have to give back to the community. Why? Because it is my duty to enrich society. Society has given me so much, all whatever wealth I have, whatever abilities I have, even schools, colleges, they are subsidized, you know, heavily by society, especially in India. You know, we studied so cheap. So it is our duty to enrich society, to give back to society. Why? What does he mean by giving up fruit? Because when I do an activity, first of all, there is a physical result. I go to work. At the end of the day, I get a paycheck. Now that is called drishtaphalam. And with that paycheck, I buy a house, buy a car, pay for my kids' education. That is good. That is drishtaphalam. Then there is adrishtaphalam, invisible fruit. And what is that? Invisible fruit is purification of the mind. When I do activities without I and my unselfish activities dedicated to Lord, dedicated to the society, unselfishly, without likes and dislikes. Because if I do only what I like, then I do whatever is required without likes and dislikes, and reduce all my negativities, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, ahankar, greed, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, pride, selfishness. When I do activities with reducing all those, I get adrishta phalam. And what is adrishta phalam? It is purification of mind. My mind becomes quiet. My mind becomes peaceful. All these negativities are reduced, anger, greed, jealousy, and so on. And I get karma, good karmas. And that punya lasts not only in this life, I get good result, but also in future lives. That's why they say that after death, you will go to better worlds. And then even your next life will be better. So if you have done activities to help society, it not only helps you in this life, but also afterwards. So talking about other life and heaven and hell, I heard a story. So there was this man who lived in Chicago. It was very cold. It's in the winter, minus whatever, 5 degrees, snow. And he tells his wife, let's go to, Florida for a week. It's nice and warm there. I've heard it's good temperature. So she says, okay. She says, but, I have some work on Monday at office. So why don't you go on Sunday? I'll come on Monday after I finish my work. I'll come a day later. So he says, okay. So he goes and he sends her an email. He says, darling, I've reached, to let her know he's reached. But he misspells, her name was Sherry Smith, C-H-E-R-I Smith. He puts an E at the end, C-H-E-R-I-E, unthinkingly he types Smith and sends it, your loving husband. Now C-H-E-R-I-E Smith was not his wife, was a pastor's wife in some other state, sherrysmith@gmail.com. And her husband had just died the day before. And the pastor, she was older lady. And so her husband had died the day before and he sends her the email. So she gets it and she looks at the email and she faints. She's completely gone, crying, crying loudly and fainted. And they say, what happened? What happened? So she says, look at this email my husband has sent. He just died yesterday. She says, he sent me email. He said, what did the email say? He says, I checked in today. Everything is ready for your arrival tomorrow. And he says, but it is very, very hot down here. He says, pastor is in hell and he's waiting for me. So in every activity, there is the drishta phalam. And then there is the adrishta phalam. So that also one has to see that if I do the right activity, then I'll get the right result. I'll not only in this life, but I'll go to heaven and then, enjoy. And then my next life will be good. And before doing an activity, this is what is sattvic, that you should know artha, samartha, jnana, and shastra. So artha is that I start a project, but I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have people to help me. And I just foolishly start the project. And then what happens? The project fails. So that is not sattvic. You are working, but you have to know why I am doing and make sure I have enough. I start a new business and I don't have the funds, my money runs out, or I don't have people to help. So that is called artha. Second, I start a project, but I don't have samartha. I don't have the ability. Like I want to go to medical school, but my MCAT score is very low because I didn't work hard. So I'm not qualified for medical. So that is called trying to do what I don't have the right ability, or going and taking up a job where I'm not qualified. I fake my abilities, write some, we found that this guy was giving wrong certificates and getting people admitted into college who were not qualified, then they are not going to do well, giving people quotas where they don't deserve to go. So that is called samartha. Then third is jnanam, that I take up a job, but I should know how to do it. You know, I should have the right knowledge. I should be qualified. Don't just take up something that you don't have the qualification, you don't have the knowledge, you know, you haven't studied what the job involves. So doing activities which are not of your qualification, where you don't have the right knowledge, where you don't have the right abilities, is rajasic or tamasic, is not sattvic. And the fourth factor is shastra. That I may have the ability, I may have the money, I may have the knowledge, but the activity is not promoted by shastra. The scriptures do not support this. Scriptures are saying this is forbidden. So even though I have a job, I have the ability, I have the money, but it is wrong. You know, like some people could be, you know, selling drugs or doing things which are illegal. You may have all the abilities, you may have the money, but it's not correct or it's not ethical. You know, sometimes people cheat a little here and there, cheat, and nobody knows. Nobody knows, but God is watching. God always knows. So doing activities according to the Shastra, according to that. So doing the right activity, what is in my limits, what is in my capability, what I know, and doing it correctly to the best of my ability without likes and dislikes. Not I only do what I like and don't do what I dislike. In life, there will be things you like and there will be things you don't like. But if it is required, I must do it. Say I go through all this headache, all this trouble, all this. What am I going to get out of it? So they say they will give you purity and they will give you peace of mind. Because ultimately, we are all working for peace of mind. Right? They say, are you doing an activity for agitation or for peace? They're doing it for peace. Everything we do is ultimately, it should lead to peace of mind and purity of mind. So what is purity of mind? Purity of mind is that activity which is free of likes and dislikes, which is does not have all the negative, you know, as I said, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness. So when a person is doing activities out of love, out of compassion, out of a desire to give back to society, out of a desire to serve, that whatever I have is God's gift to me, what I do with that is my gift to him. Or whatever I have is my guru's gift to me, what knowledge I have. So sharing knowledge or sharing wealth or sharing my time, I have extra time going out to help. I have extra ability, you know, I have an ability to teach. So going out and teaching, maybe going and working where teaching people English or where they don't know how to, you know. So giving back to society, what it does, it purifies my mind. As I share, it reduces my greed, my jealousy, my hatred. So when I develop compassion, and that's what they say, that the intention is more important than the action. So my intention should be pure. And when my intention is pure, then my mind becomes calm, mind becomes peaceful. I have less agitation, less disturbance, less jealousy, greed, hatred, and so on. And ultimately, we have to see in the path of jnanam that everything is that Brahman alone. In the path of bhakti, it is my Krishna, my Shiva, my Lord alone is there in everybody. That's why Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sudurlabha. It is very hard to find a wise person, a Mahatma, who can see God everywhere in everything. So when I'm serving somebody, I'm serving God. God himself is there. So that is the path of bhakti, and the path of knowledge is that there is one consciousness appearing as many. And this variety is only an illusion. Actually, it is one substratum. So when we do that, then I'm able to abide in this knowledge. And once I abide in this knowledge, then that helps my spiritual journey. So my nishtha, gyan, nishtha, abidance in this truth, in this knowledge, will help me on my spiritual journey as I am progressing more. As I do activities dedicated to God, seeing God everywhere, and slowly I come closer to God. Or as I meditate upon the truth, I come closer to the self, to the truth. So in both ways, abidance in this truth leads to peace, leads to purity, leads to kindness, compassion. So that is what Bhagwan says, that do activities. Do not give up activities out of delusion. Do not give up activities because they are difficult. Give up your raga dvesha. Give up your likes and dislikes and give up your selfishness. Activities I have to do, whatever my obligatory duties are, but doing them without likes and dislikes as a service of God, and then whatever result comes, that is His prasad. I put my best effort, Bhagwan, whatever I deserve, I got. Without complaint when we work, then that is sattvic, and that helps us in our spiritual journey to evolve. So here we will end today. Next few weeks, next 2 or 3 weeks, Bhagwan will analyze in more detail what is karma, what is action, and what are the factors that go into a different actions, and what decides the action. So he will talk in more detail about karma in the next 8 or 10 shlokas. So we'll do that in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So here today we have studied the 3 kinds of tyaga and how the tyaga should be done. What is the correct tyaga? We have about 10 minutes or so. If anybody has any questions or comments, if you speak on Zoom, I can then translate for others. And if they speak in person, I can translate to Zoom. So keep your comments short. That way I can translate. And but I would love to have everybody participate. Please participate as much as you can. So we'll put it on gallery view so we can see everybody. It's not happening.
Dr. Mehta.
Anji, can you put on gallery view? It's not coming. Yes, go ahead, please.
I have no comments about what you explained. Weren't we supposed to read some shlokas today? Like I thought I was supposed to.
That was on Monday at Monday 8 to 9 p.m.
8 to 9 p.m. Okay,
that is the chanting class. Today is the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita chanting is on Monday from 8 to 9 p.m.
Okay,
so there you can do first 5 or of chapter 1 or as many as you wish. Most people have studied up to 37, but since you are starting, you can do the first 5.
Okay, thank you very much. I was thinking.
Class, but Gita chanting is on Monday 8 to 9. Yes.
Okay.
But she has not been sleeping because of the anxiety.
Okay. No. It's just do whatever you can. There is no pressure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Any other questions, comments about actions or about what we studied today? Yeah, Carrie, go ahead.
Well, I think it's sometimes it's so hard to know what's the right thing to do as far as duty. Like, when children, they're told, well, you have to be a doctor, but they don't want to be a doctor, they want to be an artist, say. How do you decide what's your duty?
Well, I think there are many factors that decide the duty. One is, what do the scriptures say? That is one way you decide. Second is, if the wise people are telling you, then that is good. And the other thing is, the person may not be qualified. He may not have the interest in science, and to forcefully put him into medicine, that is also wrong for the parents. So the parents also have to see what is the child's samarthya, what is his ability, what are his limits. And then what does the person like? So we are not saying that science is always good and art is not good. You know, again, it depends. Somebody may be a very good artist, maybe a very good musician. And to force him to go into medicine would be harmful. So the parents have a duty to see how that person can work. And the child also has to have it. That maybe I may not understand what my parents have more experience. They have seen the world. They have seen me since I was growing up. So I think we have to look at both sides. The child has to see what his abilities are, and the parents have to see what the child's ability, and then together they can discuss and come to a mutual arrangement. So I think Carrie was asking, how does a child know whether he should go into medicine or go to art? And so that's the answer. Anji, Indu ji, anything?
मैं कह रही थी कि न चाहते हुए भी दिल में राग द्वेष क्यों आ जाता है? हम नहीं चाहते
दिल में राग द्वेष
क्यों आ जाता है? जबकि हम बिल्कुल नहीं चाहते, फिर भी आ जाता है. तो ऐसा लगता है कि कहाँ कमी रहती है दिन.
Right. So she's asking that when raga dvesh comes in the mind, likes and dislikes, even you don't want, why does it come? I think why the raga dvesh, likes and dislikes come, because I am not clear as to what is my duty. If I am clear that this is my duty and this is where I have been placed, then I should do it without likes and dislikes and do it as his work. The ego comes that I am doing it, then there can be likes and dislikes. But if Bhagwan is doing it through me, then there is no question of likes and dislikes. Whatever work he has assigned, wherever he has placed me, I do to the best of my ability. So raga and dvesha comes when I am doing it. I like this, I don't like it. But if Bhagwan is doing it through me, and wherever I have been placed is the right place for me. So to think that somehow Bhagwan made a mistake, no, wherever I am is the right place for me to grow spiritually. And with that understanding, one should live one's life. Doesn't matter wherever I am, whatever situation I am, it is meant for me to grow. There is no mistake in his world. And if that is the same case, then there cannot be raga dvesha. Likes and dislikes will not be there if I'm doing his work. It's not my work. And wherever I have been placed is the perfect place for me to grow spiritually, because the purpose of life is not how physically successful I am, how much money I have, how much power I have, how many likes I have on Facebook. No, how many people follow me on Instagram. The purpose of life is how close I am to Bhagwan. That is the only purpose of life. Everything else is secondary. So if anything takes me closer to Bhagwan, I should do it. So, and ultimately the goal of life is to give up this ego and become one with him. And that's what Mirabai did. You know, she had nothing. She was completely merged with Sri Krishna or Tukaram or Narsimha Mehta, all these great saints. They totally merged their ego in that. So that attitude that I alone, that God alone exists, in the path of knowledge also, Brahman alone is, you know, that's what we study in all the texts, whether it's Upadesh Sar or, you know, Vivek Chudamani, that's all we are studying. So to see that one God everywhere, and that, so then there is no likes and dislikes. Then I cannot say I like this person, I don't like this person. Raga Dvesh cannot happen. Why? Because everything is God. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So everybody is likable. So that's how you reduce raga and dvesha, by seeing him everywhere. Aapka aa gaya jawab theek? You are happy?
Ji.
Anything else anybody would like to add? We have a couple of minutes, some short comment if you.
Is Saturday, do we have a class, any class?
This Saturday? No, we don't have any class this Saturday. No. Saturday, we don't have class. We only have Sunday to Thursday.
Okay.
I have sent you the list to your and Arvind's phone. The list of all classes. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm a little confused with the idea of desire. Desire or not desire?
That's a good question. No, one should desire. Obviously, one has to be successful oneself before you can help others. If I am a failure in life, if I have nothing, no money, no, how can I help others? So I have to work hard to be successful, but the desire should be that through that success, how can I help others? So lok sangraham eva kartum arhasi. He says, you should do activities that help society. So one is individual success, then one is family's desire. But then ultimately the desire should be to serve. And then a higher desire is to evolve spiritually and become one with God. So that is the highest. So you start with physical desire. Okay, I want money, power, house, you know, car, so on, job. Then now with that, how can I serve? So the desire should become to serve. Like most of these, like, you know, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King and, you know, Nelson Mandela, their idea was to serve and uplift society. But higher than that is a desire to become one with God. So there are levels of desire, you know, individual desire, then what is good for whole society, and then ultimately what is good for my evolution. And through that evolution, once you become, then these great saints, they serve society so much. You know, Shankaracharya ji lived in the 7th, 8th century. And even today we are studying his books. You know, Buddha lived 2,500 years ago. Mirabai lived so long ago. And we are still singing her bhajan. So people who grow spiritually and become one with that become great instruments. So desire can be at different levels. So one should evolve, you know, not only for myself, that was a good desire to be successful, then I should make society better and ultimately become one with that. Does that answer your question?
It's not easy to understand.
Yeah, see, to give up desire is, you cannot do a work without desire. Even when you start a community service project, your goal is to help, say, feeding the homeless. You know, your goal is to feed maximum. So that is a desire, but that is not a selfish desire. That is a desire to feed others, to help others, you know, to serve others. So these are all desires, but as your desire goes away from me and my to others, then that selfishness reduces. The example they give is like salt. Now you put a big tablespoon of salt in a small cup. That cup tastes very salty, but you take that cup and put it in a bucket, it becomes less salty. When you put that bucket in a lake, then you can't even taste the salt. So similarly, just working for myself or my family, that is selfishness. That is like salt in the bucket. Then as I serve others, that my selfishness gets reduced. And ultimately, you are working for the absolute good, for the totality. So that is how you reduce your selfish desire and make it unselfish desire. Desires are there, but desire is not for me, is to give. So of course I have to be successful, but it should not be at the expense of others, not working dishonestly, immorally, unethically, doing the best in the right way, being very successful. We are not saying that one should not be successful, but then share it with others. So desire to help others supersedes the desire to help myself. And ultimately, everything is for God. So that is the highest, where I merge my ego in that total consciousness. Thank you. I think we'll end here. Next week we'll continue and we'll talk more about karma. Auntie, you have one. We have 1 minute. You have any comment? We can't hear you. Aapki awaaz nahi aa rahi. Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, maybe something wrong with your mic. Okay, we'll end here. And next week, we'll talk more about karma. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you. Hari Om.
Thank you.